Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 52. We are using the Me'am Loewe's commentary by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 94. We're holding by Pasuk 4. Yabiu Yedabru Osak Yis Amru Kol Poale Oven. They speak openly, they utter insolence, all the workers of iniquity pride themselves. In addition to their wickedness towards others, they speak openly. They utter insolence. They say harsh and terrible things against God. All the workers of iniquity pride themselves on the evil they perpetuate, and they rise higher and higher. They speak only among themselves. They utter insolence to all who want to hear their words of unreason. They crush your people and perpetuate utter abominations. Therefore I cry out, Hashem, how long will the wicked? How long will you treat them by your attribute of loving kindness until they think they will never falter? How long will the workers of iniquity exalt? They see the Jewish people crushed, and they begin to speak with the insolence against those who cleave to you. The evildoers exalt and glorify themselves. Some interpret Yis Amru as joined together. The workers of iniquity join up with one another, and an alliance of the wicked is bad for them and bad for the world. Pasuk 5. Amcha Hashem Yedaku V'Nachlascha Ya'anu. They crush your people, O Hashem, and inflict your inheritance. Pasuk 6. Almona V'ger Ya'rogu V'Yisomim Yiratzeichu. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. They know that the people of Israel are your people, yet they crush your people and are not afraid. They know that the people of Israel are your inheritance, as it says, Apostle Chumash Devarim, they are your people and your inheritance, yet they afflict your inheritance. The widow and the stranger, whose cause no one champions, they slay. They do not fear to murder the fatherless, because there is no one to accuse them before the government. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Vayomru lo yireh ko v'lo yovin elokei Yaakov. And they say, Hashem does not see, the God of Yaakov does not understand, he does not pay heed. The singer explains that the workers of the iniquity utter insolence, because they say, Hashem does not see, the God of Yaakov does not understand. Hashem does not see them and does not understand, hence he does not heed their deeds. Thus there is no fear of Hashem in their hearts. Why do they deny divine providence? For they hold that seeing and hearing depend on the senses. And since Hashem is not a material being, Hashem does not see, Hashem of Yaakov does not pay heed. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Binu bo'arim bo'om uchsilim mosai taskilu. Understand, you brutish among the people and you fools, when will you be enlightened? The singer turns to the evildoers who say, Hashem does not see, the God of Yaakov does not understand. Understand, you brutish ones among every people and you fools. How long will you persist in your folly? When will you be enlightened? Contrary to what you say, Hashem knows and understands everything. It is not so that Hashem does not see what goes on generally in the world, and that the God of Yaakov does not even understand and pay heed to Yaakov, his own people. A subtle interpretation says, the singer tells those brutish people who deny divine providence, understand, you brutish among the people of Israel, and look well, how is it possible that the Jewish people have survived among the nations, if not by divine providence? You fools, when will you be enlightened? Plain intelligence can make you understand that there is a divine providence. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Hanota ozen halo yishmo im yotzer ayin halo yabi. He who plants the ear, will he not hear? He who forms the eye, will he not see? How can he not see your deeds when he prepared the organs of hearing and vision? As the Rambam has written, if the smith did not know the matter of sewing, did not understand and imagine it in his mind, would he be able to make the needle? If he possesses the power to form the ear and the eye out of nothing, then surely he possesses the power to imbue them with the capacity of hearing and seeing. The singer responds to the evildoers, declaring, understand you, brutish among the people, you fools on the world scale, how dare you say that you understand the essence of the Creator's supervision? Turn to your people for understanding. Fools, when will you be enlightened? Before or after using your sense of vision? It is sufficient for you to know in a general way that he who plants the ear, will he not hear? He who forms the eye, will he not see? Once you know that, it will be no longer be necessary to explain the rest of the process. For certainly Hashem sees and hears, and hence he also understands. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Hayoseh goyim halo yechiyach hamlamed adam do'az. Shall he who chastens nations not rebuke and correct? He who teaches man knowledge. How can you say that Hashem does not see? The God of Yaakov does not understand. That's going to be learned earlier. Shall he who chastens nations for their transgressions not rebuke and correct? If he really did not see, how could he rebuke them? Therefore, just as he chastens nations, so will he rebuke you for your deeds. Now, can you claim that you did not know, since he teaches man knowledge? He gave you intelligence, and you had but to turn to the existing potential into actuality. He who chastens nations. Hashem punished the people of the flood generation, the bubble generation, and the inhabitants of Sodom. So how will he not rebuke and correct you as well? He is the one who teaches man knowledge, and man's knowledge is as nothing before the knowledge of the Most High. So how can a man think that Hashem does not see? The God of Yaakov does not understand. Knowledge comes from him, and he knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. He chastens nations by having given them a sense of social morality to legislate laws for themselves, to reward and to punish. Assuredly then he will rebuke every single individual. He who teaches man knowledge, Hashem granted man the intelligence to understand and to be enlightened in other matters as well, besides the social. It is thus certain that he wants man to achieve also in those areas. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Hashem Yodeya Machshavos Adam Geheimo Havel. Hashem knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. You say Hashem does not see, the God of Yaakov does not understand. The truth is that Hashem knows the thoughts of man, but they are futile. A man of flesh and blood cannot know the thoughts of others, but Hashem knows the thoughts of men, and he knows that they are futile. Hence, he can certainly see and understand evident things. What is more, surely he who teaches man knowledge knows what your thoughts are that stem from knowledge, and that they are futile. Indeed, without God's help, a man would not be able to put his thought into effect. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. Hence, he knows that what evildoers think about him, namely, that he does not know their thoughts and deeds are futile thoughts. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Ashrei hagever sheyatiasrenu kol mitoros chosalamdenu. Happy is the man whom you chasten, O Hashem, and whom you teach from your Torah. Having already turned to Hashem with a plea for vengeance against the evildoers who afflict Israel, the singer now justifies his decree to afflict us. Happy is the man whom you chasten, O Hashem, and whom you teach from your Torah. Through suffering you teach him from your Torah to humble his heart, and thus to keep studying your commandments. The singer responds to the argument of the evildoers, who say to Israel, if you are more righteous than we are, why do you suffer in exile for so many years? It is for our own good, the singer tells them, for happy is the man whom you chasten, O Hashem, and whom you teach from your Torah. We learn about this teaching from the Torah, as it says, as a man chastens his son, so Hashem your God chastens you. That is the intent of whom you teach from your Torah. You teach him from your Torah to accept the suffering with love. Thus it says there further, to afflict you and to test you so that he might benefit you in the end. Whom you teach from your Torah, a man should acquire Torah learning through suffering, to the extent that one is occupied with Torah study. To that extent he perceives every day how God guides him. He then understands how to rectify his deeds. Our sages teach, if a man sees that he is afflicted by suffering, let him examine his deeds. As the pasuk says in Eichon, let us search and try our ways. If he examined his deeds and did not find anything to rectify, be it known that these are afflictions of love. As it says, Hashem rebukes him whom he loves, the pasuk that's found in Mishle. What this means is that if he examined himself and found nothing amiss, it is because he did not occupy himself with Torah study. That is why he did not know how he had failed. Said Rabbi Alexandri, no man is without suffering. Happy is the man whose suffering comes upon him from the Torah, as it says, and whom you teach from the Torah. Rav Dissner said, there is no man in the world who is not afflicted by suffering. A man feels a pain in the eye and he cannot sleep. When lying down to sleep, he cannot fall asleep and stays awake the entire night. There's another man who stays up the whole night studying Torah. This one is awake, and that one is awake. Happy is the man whose suffering is in the study of Torah. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Lahashkit lo mimei ra adyikore larosho shochas. To give him rest from the days of evil until the pit is dug for the wicked. The purpose of suffering is to give him rest from the days of evil. Hashem shields the tzaddik from the evildoers so long as the evildoer lives, until the pit is dug for the wicked. Whereas the pit is dug for the wicked, the tzaddik will be secure and know no evil. Pasuk Yudalet, Pasuk 14, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachalosu lo yazo. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. The singer says, although I see the wicked crush my people and afflict his inheritance, I do not give up trusting Hashem. I remain sure that Hashem will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. If you see Israel chastened in exile, do not think that Hashem has abandoned them, for Hashem will not cast off his people in exile forever. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. The time will come when he will call upon them. Some say, for Hashem will not cast off his people, this means the people of Israel. Neither will he forsake his inheritance, this means the land of Israel and the holy Beis Hamikdash, the holy temple. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Ki Atzedek Yashuv Mishpat V'Yachorav Kol Yishvei Lev. The judgment will revert to justice and all of upright heart will follow it. The unjust judgment perpetuated against Israel by the nations will gradually diminish until finally justice will prevail. Hashem will bestow justice and mercy for his people. We'll follow it. After Hashem will have brought justice to the Jewish people, all men will be of upright heart. So long as people do not see justice done, they think that there is no justice and no judge. As it says, but as for me, my feet always almost straight. Things in the pasuk is found in Tehillim previously. The time will come when judgment will revert to justice. The evildoers tore judgment away from justice, but a time will come when the two will be joined. Then all of the upright heart will follow him. Hashem will bestow upon abundant loving kindness and well-being. It will seem to the people that the suffering that they endured was justice and loving kindness in every detail. Follow him. At that time, the righteous who endured suffering will draw after Hashem. Another interpretation says the judgment, the sphere of punishment that Hashem administers to a human being, causes him to return to justice. But at that time, all of upright heart will follow it. Everyone will pursue justice on his own in the absence of judgment. The singer says further that exile is but a temporary condition for refining the Jewish people, because they will have suffered miradam for the sanctification of Hashem's name, they will be exonerated in the future judgment. Suffering causes the pure of heart to join together. Thus it says here, the harsh judgment of suffering will last until the day of justice. This is the first consequence. Then following it, the second consequence will be that all of upright heart will be refined by testing, as it says, Hashem tries the righteous. Hashem knows the thoughts of men who think in dismay why it was decreed upon Israel in particular to suffer so much. Why must they suffer? And other inferior nations such as the Ashdodim and the Ludim and the Kastim live in freedom. Hashem knows, however, that these thoughts of men are in fact futile, for suffering at the hand of God is a precious commodity. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Mi yakum li im mereim, mi yisyatsev li im poale oven. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Having concluded his entire entreaty for the downfall of the wicked, the singer now goes on to strengthen the hearts of the Jewish people. Let him trust in Hashem and avoid falling in despair. David HaMelech points to himself as an example. He would say, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? If the Almighty will not help me in my war against the wicked, who else will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? More specifically, if the singular form of Yokum's Yatsev says, who but the one God would ally himself with a single warrior, myself, against so many workers of iniquity and subdue them? The Jewish people praise Hashem for watching over Israel in exile, a lamp among 70 wolves. Unless Hashem had been my help, my soul would have soon dwelt in silence. Our sages say that this refers to Moshe himself. At the time of his passing, he said to Hashem, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me instead of me against the workers of iniquity? Whenever he beheld Hashem's anger flare against Israel, he stood up in their defense. But now that he was leaving them, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will agree to ally himself with these evildoers to be judged by the same judgment? Who will stand together with the workers of iniquity, the Jewish people, when they sinned as Moshe had done? Pasuk Yitzayin, Pasuk 17. Lule Hashem as Rosali Kimat Shofno Dumo Nashi. Unless Hashem had been my help, my soul would have been soon dwelt in silence. I am constantly in need of his help, and I beseech him not to cast me off and not to forsake me. For unless Hashem had been my help, I would soon have been in the grave. My soul would have soon dwelt in silence. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Mamarti Mato Ragli Chastucha Hashem Yisadeni. If I say my foot slipped, your loving kindness, O Hashem, holds me up. Whenever I'm in the midst of a great many troubles, and I say my foot slipped, I have no more strength to stand up against my enemies. I continue to trust that your loving kindness, O Hashem, holds me up. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. The robes are apai, v'kirbi tanchumecho yishash u nafshi. When my cares are many within me, your comforts cheer my soul. I think many thoughts in my heart, worrying about the future. But then I think about your comforts, and they cheer my soul. This also alludes to the suffering of Israel in exile. The hope of Hashem's deliverance brings comfort. It gives them the strength to bear their troubles. The singer thus also speaks in the name of the congregation of Israel, having spoken of all the evil suffered by Israel at the hands of its enemies who deny divine providence. The singer says, unless Hashem had been my help, by putting in my heart the wisdom and understanding to hope and trust in Hashem's deliverance, my soul would have soon dwelt in silence. Even in the most perilous circumstances, when I said my foot slipped, I said in my heart, your loving kindness, O Hashem, will hold me up in the future. This corresponds to the first consolation expressed by the Prophet after the destruction of the Holy Temple, the Beis HaMikdash. Thus he said, Hashem's loving kindness have not ceased, and his compassion did not fail. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Eicha. When my cares are many with me, when I continue to worry, I said, your comforts alone, even without the loving kindness, cheer my soul. Some say that Moshe was talking here about himself in praise of the suffering that he had borne for 40 years at the hands of the mixed multitude. He gave his life for their sake, as when he said, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray from your book which you have written, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Shemos. He accepted these troubles upon himself in order to instruct them in the Torah, to bring them to the land of Israel, and to give them life in the world to come. For every one of these things is acquired through suffering. All these afflictions were negligible in his eyes compared to the great benefit that would result from the suffering. Accordingly, he says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, the mixed multitude? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity, those who fomented contention? Unless Hashem had been my help, my soul would have soon dwelt in silence. And as he said, they are almost ready to stone me, a pasuk found in Chumash Shemos. Even when I said my foot slipped, that my time had come to die at their hands in the wilderness, yet I was truthful that your loving kindness, O Hashem, will hold me up in the world to come. Thus our sages say, Moshe died in the wilderness in order to bring life in the world to come to those of his generation. Pasuk Chof, Pasuk 20. Hayachov recha kisei havos yotzer omol aleichov. Can the seat of malice be associated with you to frame mischief by statute? Here the singer reveals the thoughts that possessed him, and what gave him the resolve and the hope of deliverance. He would say in his heart, can deceit of malice, iniquity, and destruction be associated with you? Is it possible that the source of iniquity and destruction be in you? Can it be that you exonerate the evildoer and condemn the righteous man? No, that is utterly impossible. It is just as impossible as that you would constantly frame mischief for your people Israel until it became like a fixed statute. Therefore I knew that you would exonerate me in your judgment. I said, your comforts cheer my soul because I trust in them. It cannot be that the seat of malice is associated with you. You are the true judge and your throne is truth, unlike the thrones of kings on earth that are centers of destruction. Their throne frames mischief by arbitrary decrees that become the law of the land, but your statue is true judgment. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk 21. Yagodu al nefesh sadik v'dam naki yashiu. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. The multitudes of evildoers gathered themselves together to perpetuate evil against the soul of the righteous. They condemned the righteous people of Israel, spilling innocent blood. Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. Vayhi Hashem li lemiskov Velokai Litzur Machzi, but Hashem has been my high tower and my God, the rock of my refuge. But all this will be of no avail to them, for Hashem has been my high tower and my God, the rock of my refuge, who saved me from the assembled evildoers. A subtle interpretation says, Hashem has been my high tower, whenever I would declare that He is my God and the rock of my refuge. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Vayoshav Aleihem es onam uvra'osam yatzmisem yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. He turned back upon them their own iniquity and will destroy them by their own evil. The Lord our Hashem will destroy them. The singer pleads for the future, but begins by speaking of the past. He turned back upon them in their own iniquity, and so may he also in the future turn back upon their own heads the wrong they do him. May he destroy them by their own immense evil. May Hashem, our God, destroy them. He will save me from the hands of the evildoers and turn back upon them the iniquity they perpetuated. He will destroy them by their own evil. Hashem, our God, will destroy them. The repetition stresses his plea for their utter destruction. Another interpretation is based on reading Onam as their might. Namely, their own might will be the cause of their death. Indeed, they will perish utterly. He will destroy them by their own evil. Hashem, our God, will destroy them. Some read Onam in the sense of exploitation, Hono, the wrong they wanted to commit against me. He turned back upon them, he annihilated them by their own evil. Our sages teach the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed at the conclusion of the Shabbos, at the conclusion of the sabbatical year. This took place during the first and second watch of Yoriv, while the Levium were standing on their platform chanting, He turned back upon them their own iniquity. Before they could say, destroy them by their own evil, the Lord our God will destroy them, the enemy seized them. Had they succeeded in chanting this phrase, the enemy could not have forced themselves into the Holy Temple, the Holy Beis HaMikdash. Chapter 95, Pasuk 1. Lechu nuranino l'Hashem noriyo l'tzur yishenu. Come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem. Let us sound the horn to the rock of our deliverance. The present psalm speaks about the days of the Mashiach and is thus naturally linked to the previous psalm, which began, O Hashem, the God of vengeance. After God will have annihilated the wicked nations who confronted Israel bent on their destruction, the Mashiach will say to the Jewish people, Come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem. Let us go to the Beis HaMikdash and there rejoice in song to Hashem for our deliverance. Let us sound musical instruments to Hashem who has delivered us from the hands of our adversaries. Some say the psalm refers to the ingathering of the exiles. As the book of Yechezkel makes clear, this will take place prior to the coming of the Mashiach, when they will repent and return to Hashem. The Jewish people will say, Come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem, that He has brought us out from the midst of the nations. Let us sound the royal salute to the king who has overwhelmed superior forces contrary to the natural pattern predicted by the constellations. The present psalm aims at uplifting the spirit of the children of Israel in exile. It tells them, If you will follow in the ways of Hashem, the end of your suffering will come. You will not have to endure exile for long. Do not be like the Israelites in the wilderness whose hearts strayed and did not know the ways of Hashem. The present psalm is one of six psalms now customarily recited during the Shabbos Eve services to welcome the Shabbos. These correspond to the 6 weekdays and were incorporated into prayer service by Rav Moshe Cardovero, the brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Alkabez, the composer of the Chor Dodi. On the Shabbos we joyously celebrate Hashem's sovereignty. Accordingly, we recite in our prayers, Yismuchu b'malchuscho shomrei Shabbos v'korei oneg. Those who observe the Shabbos and call it a delight will rejoice in your kingship. These particular psalms are recited because they speak of the kingdom of Hashem becoming manifest in the days of the Mashiach. It is indicated, moreover, that Zion will be redeemed on account of the Shabbos. This is also the reason that mourners are consoled following the recitation of the Lechot Dori. They should find consolation amidst the consolation of Zion. Some say that all of these psalms, up to Psalm 100, address the same matter, namely the two patterns whereby Hashem conducts the world, the natural order and the miraculous order. The present psalm is the introduction to these particular psalms. 96, 97 speak of the natural order, Psalms 98, 99 speak of the miraculous order. Thus it says here, "Come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem. He is the creator of the world, who brought into existence all existence. Let us sound the horn to the rock of our deliverance," which pertains to the pattern of individual supervision. Others say that the singer comes in praise of the righteous man who cleaves to Hashem. Please turn tape over to side B. And if you are listening to a CD, please be patient for a few moments. The psalm teaches that a person must strive to attain the level at which he will justify the judgment of his suffering. In this way, it is within our power to hasten the redemption. Having concluded the previous psalm by declaring that Hashem will destroy them by their own evil, Hashem, our God, will destroy them, the singer tells the nations of the world, "Why wait until you are destroyed? Repent, come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem." The attribute of judgment, the rock, will then be turned about, and this will be our deliverance. Let us sound the horn to the rock of our deliverance. Instead of rejoicing at the downfall of the evildoers, as the ministering angels wanted to do at the destruction of the Egyptians, and they were rebuffed, let us rejoice that our lives were saved. According to the Medrash, Moshe said this about the tribe of Yisachar, who devoted themselves to the joyful song of Torah study. Moshe said, "Come, let us rejoice in the song of the Torah to Hashem. Let us be involved in Torah study for its own sake as a commandment of Hashem. The existence of the entire world will then find justification through us." Pasuk base, Pasuk 2. The Kadmo Fona Bisoida Bismiros Nerialo. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and shout joyously to him with psalms. In the time of the Mashiach, when we give thanks for the miracle of our deliverance, we will come before his presence with thanksgiving. We will bring thanksgiving offerings in the holy Beis Hamikdash and shout joyously to him with psalms for the glory of Hashem. In the future, we will come out of exile as one comes out of prison, and we will thus come before his presence with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving offering will come before it will precede us. Similarly, when one brings a meal offering, the meal offering precedes the person. Some say, before we rejoice in song to Hashem, we will come before his presence with thanksgiving for all the good that he will have bestowed upon us. Then we will shout joyously with psalms to the rock of our deliverance. The plural form of nir ninom, as we learned in the previous pasuk, reflects the fact that rejoicing in song, rinom, is a public celebration. Similarly, we find the plural form in wisdom rejoices, pasuk that's found in Mishlei. In other words, the Torah says here that we will all take part in the joyous singing of the Messianic age. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving for having merited to rejoice in song before Hashem and to sound the horn to the rock of our deliverance. This is a great thing, for Hashem is a great God and a great King above all gods. Pasuk speaks in the future tense, indicative of Israel's absolute trust that the deliverance will come. Accordingly, they already give thanks for the future as well. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3, Ki Kel Godol Hashem Umelech Godol Akol Elokim. For Hashem is a great God and a great King above all gods. Here the singer begins the substance of his praise for Hashem. For the Lord is a great God in stature and power. He is a great King above all gods, the sovereign of over all heavenly hosts or powers that control, judge the earth. In the time of the Mashiach, it will be recognized that Hashem is King over any and all these gods. They can do nothing unless it is as His envoys. All other manifestations of dominion will then acknowledge that Hashem is higher, that He dominates them. As it says, and it shall come to pass on that day that Hashem will punish the host of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. It will be recognized that Hashem's power and authority extend over all forces of nature, for He is the creator of everything. They will acknowledge that He is a great King over all gods. Pasuk Dalit, Pasuk 4. Asher b'yado mechkarei oretz v'soafos horim lo. For in His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the mountain summits are also His. Having spoken of the host of heaven, the singer goes on to say that the deep places of the earth are also under God's dominion, as are the very high mountains. Thus Toofos is seen to connote great power or horns. The Torah says that Hashem is great above all the angels. And so it might be thought that Hashem's supervision does not extend over the earth and the sea on account of His lofty greatness. This is the argument of those who deny divine supervision, as it says, who utter your name with wicked thought. Accordingly, it says here, in His hands are the deep places of the earth, and the mountain summits are also His. Hashem's supervision on earth extends from the depths which require exploration to the highest mountain called soaring to Afos. The term is linked to Of Yofe, birds that fly above. Hence it refers to soaring mountain peaks, even as the heavens are very high, yet Hashem has dominion over them. So His dominion is over the depths of the earth and the summits of mountains. Some say that this refers to Hashem's power to crush the highest mountains. As it says, Hashem passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before Hashem, as found in Sefer Melachim. The Medrash says, for His is the sea. If a king of flesh and blood claimed dominion over the sea, he could not tell us how much water it holds. Concerning the Holy One, however, it is proper to say that indeed His is the sea. Why? For He made it, and thus He knows its measure of water. As it says in Yeshayahu, who is it that has measured the waters in the hollow of the hand? In His hands are the deep places of the earth. Hashem, the King, created the world, yet He renews the works of creation daily, for He is a God of loving kindness. He is unlike any artist of flesh and blood whose work of art ceases to be dependent upon Him as soon as it is completed. Some render to Afos in the sense of uncovering and shining, as in its darkness will be like the morning to Afos, closely found in Iyob. It is the will of Hashem that man should explore and study the open places of the earth and the mountains. The places of exploration, Mechkarei and earth, refers to the wilderness regions that are difficult to explore because of their desolation and the dearth of human traffic. The mountain summits are the mountainous regions of the earth, for His is the sea, and He made it. when he gathered together the water in one place, as found in Chumash Bereishis. His hands formed the dry land, alludes to the creation of man, who walks on dry land, and for whose purpose since the world was created. The Torah here says about the sea that it was made, for the sea does not require improvement. He made it complete. By contrast, the dry land was formed, which yet requires the stage of making by man, as it says regarding the dry land that Hashem created to do by man. Thus our sages have reckoned that Adam performed 11 tasks before he savored the taste of bread. Pasuk 5. Hashalo hayom v'hu osa'u yabeshes yodav yotzoru. For his is the sea, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Not only are the depths of the earth and the mountain summits his, but his is the sea and the dry land. They are his, not because he purchased them, but because he made the sea, and his hands formed the dry land. Thus it says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. Because his are the sea, the dry land, and the mountains, it is in his power to elevate and to cast down anyone at will. We have been cast down into exile, but now he will elevate us above every nation. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Bo'u nishtachave v'nechro'o nivrecho lifnei Hashem. Hosseinu, come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. In the future, we will owe praise and thanksgiving to Hashem for his deliverance. And we will all acknowledge that Hashem is a great God. But that will not be enough. Come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. We will be subservient to his glory as a servant is acquiescent under the yoke of his master. First, the Torah says that we will prostrate ourselves, which means to lie prostrate with outstretched arms and legs, and then it says that we will bow down, which is similar to the bowing motion performed in the Shmon Esrei prayer. It means bowing from the waist down and lowering the head. Finally, it says that we will kneel, that is, bend the knee, as it says, Shlomo rose from kneeling on his knees, a pasuk that's found in Melachim Aleph. We will offer this homage because he has created us and brought us into this world. Accordingly, the singer says, come all Israel and all the world, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. We accept his kingship not only because he is the creator of all existence. He made us into a nation, and he shepherds us as a shepherd herding his sheep to pasture. We, the children of Israel, who kneel before Hashem, our God, as our Maker, will also prostrate ourselves and bow down. Some relate Nivrecha to Havrocha, bending a branch to replant it in the ground. Based on this association, a corresponding subtle interpretation says, we will utterly abnegate ourselves, lower ourselves all the way down to our roots before Hashem. Hence, we will also merit his blessing, his bracha. Just as the implanted branch is blessed with new growth, so will we be blessed. The Medrash says, is not bowing down included in prostration, and is not prostration included in the bowing down? What the Torah means, however, is that Moshe foresaw via the spirit of prophecy that the holy temple, the holy base of English, would be destroyed and the first fruit offering cease. Therefore, he instituted that the people of Israel should pray 3 times daily, for prayer is beloved before Hashem above all good deeds and all offerings. As it is written, let my prayer be set forth as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening meal offering. Indeed, we find, when it was decreed that Moshe would not enter the land of Israel, despite all his good deeds, he resorted to prayer. I pray to you
let me go over and see the good land, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. When the first man stood up, erect on his feet, all the creatures were fearful of him. They followed behind him like servants after the king. He said to them, I and you, come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. Our sages teach, everything comes in the merit of prostrating oneself before Hashem. The dead will not be resurrected except in the merit of having prostrated themselves, as it says, come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. As our pasuk says. Now we go to pasuk Zion. Ki hu Eloheinu v'anachnu amar iso v'tzon yodo hayom im mekolo tishmo'u. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock of his hand in his care. Today, even if you would but heed his voice, not only is he our Maker, but he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. He himself in all of his glory shepherds us. We are the flock of his hand alone. He does not tend to us through an intermediary. When are we truly called the people of his pasture and the flock of his hand? The answer is today, even if you would but heed his voice, every time we listen to his voice. Let us not be like our forefathers, the desert generation. Soon after Hashem had redeemed them at the Exodus from Mitzrayim, they tested their Maker at Rephidim. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Accordingly, the Torah here goes on to command a warning to the Jewish people. The singer conveys two reasons why we are to rejoice in song to Hashem. One is that Hashem is a great God. The other reason is that he has been good to us. Thus he says, come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem. Let us sound the horn of the rock of our deliverance. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. What is more, in his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the mountain summits are also his. That is the general good from which we benefit together with everyone else. In addition, we enjoy a special benefit, namely that Hashem himself is our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock of his hand. The Medrash says, when are we his people? That is so when we are the people of his pasture, and not when we are in the category of lions. As it says, my inheritance has become to me as a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. A pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. The Medrash teaches that this is so only when we conduct ourselves humbly like sheep, rather than like lions. Every lion is himself a king, and in his pride thinks that he is greater than any other. The Mashiach is waiting at the gate. Once Rabbi Shua ben Levi found Eliyahu standing at the entrance to the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. When will Mashiach come? He asked. Go and ask him yourself, Eliyahu replied. Where is he located? At the gate to the city. By what sign will I know him? He is seated among the poor, diseased sufferers. All of them uncover and then bandage their wounds once. He uncovers one wound, wipes it clean, and bandages it. Then he does the same thing for another wound. He does not treat two wounds at the same time, for he says that he might suddenly be told to go to redeem Israel. He will then not have to delay his departure until he has had bandaged all the other wounds. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi went to the Mashiach, and he said to him, peace upon you, my teacher and guide. Peace upon you, son of Levi, the Mashiach replied. When will the Master come? Today. Rabbi Shua ben Levi came back to Eliyahu, who asked him what the Mashiach said. He related that the Mashiach had greeted him with the words, peace upon you, son of Levi. Said Eliyahu to him, you and your forefathers have certainly been granted life in the world to come. For if you had not been entirely righteous, he would not have greeted you, and he would not have mentioned your father. But he lied to me, said Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He told me that he would come today, and he did not come. This is what he said to you, replied Eliyahu. Today, even if
you would but heed his voice. The word im alludes to Eliyahu and to Mashiach. The first letters of the words Hayom im Bekolo Sishmo spells Ahavas, the love of. The redemption will come when the people of Israel love one another. To achieve this condition, we must remove causeless hatred from our midst and become united as friends and loved ones. Today, if you would but heed his voice, the Torah teaches a great principle about how to serve Hashem. It is that one should not think of more than one day at a time, whether it be to earn a livelihood and care for one's needs or to serve Hashem. Do not look from one day to the next. Consider today only this day and only the immediate hour. When one embarks upon a path of serving Hashem, this seems burdensome. But if a man considers that he has no more than this day and this hour, it will not be at all burdensome. Nor should one delay from one day to the next. Do not say to yourself that tomorrow you will begin to pray and the like. For a man does not possess anything in this world except the present day and the present hour. Tomorrow is already quite another day entirely. Therefore today, if you would but heed his voice. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Al takshu levavchem kemeriva keyomasa b'midbor. Do not harden your heart as at Meribah, as in the day of Masa in the wilderness. Having declared today even, if you would but heed his voice, the singer continues, so do not harden your heart as at Meribah. Do not act as the desert generation acted, which resulted in the decree, they would not enter the land of Eretz Israel, a pasuk found in the Chumash Bamidbar. For they have not known my way, therefore I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Do not harden your hearts as you hardened them at Masa and Meribah, when the Jews quarreled and tested Hashem, as found in Chumash Shemot. Do not act as did your ancestors when your fathers tried me. Even though they had water, which they had brought along from Alush, they asked for water merely to test me. Even though they saw my work, I took them out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage by great miracles and mighty wonders. Nevertheless, they did not believe in me, and they tried me. They saw my work before testing me and after testing me, as in the day of Masa in the wilderness. Here they were in this vast and terrible wilderness, and every day beheld the wonders of Hashem, yet they tested me. Some explain that Meribah refers to the episode of the spies who said, let us appoint a chief and let us return to Mitzrayim, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. As at Masa refers to what the Torah says, yet have they tried me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Asher nisuni avoseichem bechonuni gam ro'u fo'oli. When your fathers tried me, tested me, even though they saw my work. The Jews in the wilderness committed 2 wrongs. For one, your fathers tried me when they said, is Hashem among us or not? A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Secondly, they tested me by complaining about the abundance I bestowed upon them. When they said about the mon, our soul loathes this miserable bread, as we learned this in Chumash Bamidbar. They acted in this manner, though they saw my work that I alone could do contrary to the pattern of nature. By the Holy Spirit of prophecy, Moshe foresaw that some of the people would be unwilling to come back to the land of Israel from their places of exile. As explained in Sefer Yechezkel, Hashem will then rule over them with a high hand. He will bring them into the wilderness of the nations where the wicked and the rebellious will perish. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Ar boim shana okud bedor v'omar am to'e levav heim v'heim lo yodu d'rochor. For 40 years I quarreled with that generation. Then I said, it is a people of errant heart, and they have not known my way. The singer goes on to demonstrate here that Hashem is upright, in whom there is no unrighteousness. Hashem swore that the Jews would not enter the land of Israel, and the reason was that for 40 years I quarreled with that generation to change their hearts, to reconcile them to me, but they persisted as a people of errant heart. devoid of good counsel and lacking in understanding. I said, it is a people of errant heart, who incline only after the material. They have not known my way, they did not understand all the miracles that I had performed for them, and so were afraid to enter the land of Israel. They have not known my way, as Moshe said, yet Hashem has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, until this day. For 40 years I quarreled with, was provoked by that generation. Thus the Torah teaches that a person who commits a transgression even once a year is considered as having committed transgression throughout that entire year, even though the spies had only sinned 40 days. Every day was reckoned against them as a year. They sinned because they have not known my way, they neglected to study the Torah. They were punished so harshly because it was a time of divine anger, as it says, therefore I swore in my wrath. Some translate okut in the sense of cutting off, as in whose trust shall be cut off, yakut, a pasuk as found in Iyov. The Torah indicates that the process of their destruction, cutting off, continued for 40 days. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Asher nishbati bi'api im yavon el menuchasi. Therefore I swore in my wrath that they would not enter into my rest. Because they provoked me for 40 years, I swore in my wrath that this generation, aged 20 to 60, would not enter the land of Israel, but die in the wilderness. As it says, as I live, says Hashem, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. It's a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. The land of Israel and Yerushalayim are called rest, as it says, this is my resting place forever. This is a pasuk that we're going to be learning in later on in Sefer Tehillim. There the people of Israel found repose. My rest thus means the resting place which Hashem provided for them. Accordingly, the Torah says to the Jewish people in Golos, in exile, do not conduct yourselves as they did. You will then merit to behold the days of Mashiach. On account of this transgression, Hashem swore to disperse them among the countries, as found the pasuk in Yechezkel. Therefore has He warned us to return to Him by rectifying that transgression. He will then gather us from the four corners of the earth, a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. It was for their own good that the desert generation had to die in the wilderness. Otherwise, they would have perished at the hand of the 31 kings in the land of Israel. Hashem acted to prevent this profanation of His great name. The decree that they must die in the wilderness was pronounced in the second year, but it was in Hashem's thought when they made the golden calf. Yet He waited until the spies had sinned, because the Jews blamed the mixed multitude in their midst for the golden calf. They claimed that this multitude had incited them to commit the transgression. The spies dispatched by Moshe to scout the land were all men of high lineage, and when they sinned, Hashem took account of the previous sin as well. The oath that Hashem swore also pertained to the future. The Jewish people would be unable to return to the land of Israel on their own by force. The future redemption will come about through the hand of Hashem. Thus it says, the virgin Israel is fallen, she will rise no more on her own. Hashem will take them by the hand, rise up with them, and move them to the land of Israel. The Medrash says, Hashem said, I swore in my wrath and I reversed myself. They would not enter into my rest. They will not come into this rest, but they will come into another rest. Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, a king was angry at his son. He rejected him, cast him out, and swore that his son would never again enter the palace. Then what did he do? He demolished the palace, built another one, and then invited his son into the new palace. He thus brought back his son inside, and yet fulfilled his oath. Similarly, Hashem said, I swore in my wrath and I reversed myself. I swore that they would not enter into my rest, into this rest, but they would come into another rest. Now we go to chapter 96, pasuk 1. Shir la Hashem shechado, shir la Hashem kol oretz. Sing to Hashem a new song. Sing to Hashem all the earth. The present psalm is similar in content to the foregoing psalm. It is a song of deliverance for the future, when Hashem will save the Jewish people from their evil persecutors. Thus the singer said earlier, come, let us rejoice in song to Hashem. And here it says, sing to Hashem a new song. Compose a new song in addition to the existing songs and psalms. This will happen not only in Shalim, and will involve not only uniquely talented individuals, but all the earth will then sing to Hashem. That this psalm pertains to the future may be seen from the concluding pasuk, which says, for he has come to judge the earth. Indeed, wherever in the Torah it says a new song, that pertains to the future. Appropriately, the present pasuk follows the last pasuk of the previous psalm, which said, therefore I swore in my wrath that they would not enter into my rest. The sages explain, they will not come into this rest, but they will be coming into another rest. This will come about at the redemption, when they will sing to Hashem a new song. The reason for the new song is that Hashem will then renew his world and make it more splendid than it had been. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, for as the new heavens and the new earth, therefore sing to Hashem all the earth. The Gentile nations too will benefit from this new world. In this and the following psalm, the singer declares that Hashem will perform miracles that transcend the bounds of nature. He will change the natural pattern to make it conform with deliverance for his servants. Sing to Hashem a new song, for we will not have to sing and recite psalms for the deliverances of old. The new song will be so grand, it will be equal to all the previous songs. For while the old miracles took place only in particular countries, the miracles of the future will be in all the earth. As it says a pasuk in Yoel, and I set wonders in the heavens and on the earth. The grand overall manifestations of heaven will be revealed throughout the earth. The sages teach, all the songs ever spoken in this world are designated in the Torah by the feminine form. Just as a woman becomes pregnant with a child and gives birth, and then continues to give birth, so troubles and afflictions come as if to chant songs on their own in the feminine tongue. In the future, however, there will no longer be any troubles, as it says, for the former troubles are forgotten, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and it is written they will obtain gladness and joy. At that time the song will be sung in the masculine tongue, as it says here, sing to Hashem a new masculine song. The Torah is using the word chadash. We will stop here, but we'll continue Mr. Shem in our next shir.